Grantessa Medalis, where the wide lines start, 2, 4, 6 lines down from the wide lines at the end of the line. This is very easy Gemara. We were discussing before in the Gemara, the last thing was that when they, about Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, and about getting married and Chola married, and Shlomo HaMelech waited for the Beis HaMikdash to be finished. Now the Gemara says a new thing in relationship to that. Amar Rapanach Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Rapanach said the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Eise Shana Loyasa Yisos Yom Kippurim. That year the Jews did not fast in Yom Kippur. They mamish ate on Yom Kippur. They were drinking and eating and celebrating Yom Kippur as if it was a holiday. And we'll see why. Now, Vayudai again, Vayimrim, and the people afterwards were nervous, and they were saying, Shaman Nishaivus, Sanaim, Shayisal Kliya. It's an expression, maybe the enemies of the Jews, but they meant themselves. Maybe they would deserve to be punished and exterminated for fasting on Yom Kippur like that. So Yatsuz of Baskel, a voice came out from heaven and said, don't worry, Kulcham is Umamim, Lachay Ulam Abba. You're all prepared for the life, the world to come. Don't worry that you didn't eat that you didn't fast in Yom Kippur. No problem. You're all going to Olam Abba. Now, the Gemara says, my Dorish, why Taka did they eat? Now, they weren't told that they're allowed to eat that Yom Kippur. Now, we learned last time, the Gemara says that they actually celebrated 7 days and 7 days. Okay? And if you make a chajmin, the 7 days and the 7 days, part of it was Yom Kippur, so obviously they ate. So the Gemara says, where did they find the leniency to eat on Yom Kippur? So the Gemara says,
people told them, the rabbis told them.
Yeah, but the question, how did the rabbis know that?
Okay.
No, but the question, my Dorish means a general question, how did the Jews know that Yom Kippur they're allowed to eat? Whether it was the rabbis or the individuals? So they said, Amru Kavu Chaymer. They made a Kavu Chaymer. The Mishkan was only a temporary home for Hashem. The Korban Yochit, and yet when the Nesiim dedicated the first 12 days, the Nesiim dedicated their Korbanis. Okay, now according to the Cheshbon, the Gemara is going to explain every day was a different Nasi. There were 12 days, meaning including a Shabbos. That means one Nasi, whoever it was, brought on Shabbos. Now, that's a carbon yachid. It's a personal carbon. Never does a carbon yachid push away Shabbos. And Shabbos is skila. So Shabbos is stricter than Yom Kippur. Eating on Yom Kippur, you don't get stoned. You get karis. Now, Shem's killing you is not as bad as skila. Because for karis, you could do tshuva. And for skila, you can't. Okay, so Shabbos, skila is worse than eating on Yom Kippur. So the Chacham said like this, if by the Mishkan, which is only temporary, they brought a korban on Shabbos, even though it's mamish desecration of Shabbos, so the Beis HaMikdash was permanent, for sure, we should be able to eat on Yom Kippur. That's what their Cheshbon was. Let's see it inside. So he says, Amr Kavachaymer. What was the Kavachaymer? Ma Mishkan Shein Kedusha Si Kedusha Seilim. The Mishkan was not a permanent Kedusha. The Karban Yachid, and yet it was only a Karban Yachid in private Karban, yet. Deich Shabbos to Issa Skila, which pushed away Shabbos, which is Mamish Skila, stoning. So Migdash to Kedusha Si Kedusha Seilim. The Beis HaMikdash, which is a permanent Kedusha. The Karban Sibur. The Yema Kippur was, they brought communal sacrifices. The Yema Kippurim, the Einish Kodesh, and Yom Kippur is only Kodesh, not Skila. The Kosh came for sure that they should be allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. In other words, it pushes away Yom Kippur. Okay.
Rabbi, that was
yeah. It's still at a din of a carbon yachid. The Gemara says, because they brought it from their own money, that those korbanos, the Gemara says, they brought from their own money. So then it didn't have a din of carbon tzibur. Carbon tzibur is only when the community is paying for it. So it had a din of a carbon yachid. And yet it's pushing away Shabbos. So therefore, the Gemara says, they learned out that you could do it. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, elamayho yudoyagin. So what were they nervous about? It says afterwards they were nervous that they broke Yom Kippur. And a voice came out from heaven and says, okay, you're going to Olam Haba, so why were they nervous? If you're allowed to do it, why should they be nervous? So the Gemara answers, awesome, because over there in the base of Migdosh, when it pushed away Shabbos, it was Seirich Gavaya. There was a carbon for Hashem. Here they were eating and drinking for themselves. So the Gemara says, maybe you're right that, you know, this could push off Yom Kippur, but, you know, maybe it's not a comparison. Because they brought a carbon yochid on Shabbos, it wasn't for themselves, it was for Hashem. But eating and drinking, which was for themselves a benefit, so they were a little nervous. Like he says, Hasam Tzarech Gavaya. Over there was for Hashem. Ha'cha Tzarech Hedyat. He was for a regular person. So the Gemara says, Ha'cha Nami Mevid Lebdo. If that's the case, let them rejoice and Yom Tov and bring korbanis and mechol nechol ledish, let them not eat and drink. So the Gemara asks like this: if they wanted to celebrate the dedication of the Beis Hamikdash, why did they eat and drink on Yom Kippur? Let them bring korbanis on Yom Kippur, and then the kavochemer would have been great, because in the Mishkan they brought a korban when it's temporary, and yet it's skila. So Yom Kippur to bring a carbon, if you desecrate Yom Kippur, forget eating it, if you desecrate Yom Kippur, the punishment is kardas.
Why
so
did they dedicate the temple on Yom Kippur?
They didn't. They dedicated it before, and the celebration went on for 14 days. Now Yom Kippur was in the middle of the 14 days. So the Gemara says they ate, the Pasuk says in Malachim that they ate and drank.
Now why 14 days? Why 11?
The Gemara is going to see later why is the Cheshbon 14:14.
They didn't want to postpone the grand opening.
Right. Like the Gemara said before, once it's finished, they didn't want to push it off. So the Gemara is asking though, so why did they eat and drink? They should have brought korbanos and not eaten and drunk. So the Gemara answers a very simple answer. Ein simcha b'lei achilu shtiyah. There's no simcha without eating and drinking. What do you want, to bring korbanos and rejoice? What type of, you have to party. Party means eating and drinking, for bringing, yeah.
They do this straight for 14 days, the whole thing.
Yeah.
The same. They bring korbanos the whole 14 days old?
Yeah, yeah. They did a lot of things. If you look at Malachim, they were non-stop. They ended up bringing thousands and thousands and thousands of korbanos to pass. Yeah. Yeah, one enough terrorists, you say. Okay, now the Gemara asks a different question. The whole Kavachemer, it's very easy Gemara, the whole Kavachemer was, in the Mishkan, they brought the carbon on Shabbos. Right? So Gemara says, maybe they didn't. Maybe when the Nesiim brought the 12 carbonis, in Shabbos they didn't bring. How do you know, where does it say in Chumash they brought? It says on the first day he brought, second day he brought, third day. Maybe it meant the days of the korbanos they brought. How do you know? Where do you see that they brought the korban on Shabbos? So the Gemara asked the question: O Mishkan, the dachi Shabbos minalon. How do we know that they brought a korban takadak when they dedicated the Mishkan? How do I know that they brought a korban on Shabbos? So Gemara says, Ilema midiksi b'yem arishin b'yem ashvi. If you're going to say because it says on the first day Nachshim and Aminadav brought, and on the seventh day, this person brought. So therefore, Shvi means Shabbos. Sigmar says, no. Dilma Shvi lo Karbanos. Maybe it means the seventh day of bringing the Karban. How do you know it means Shabbos? By the way, the Gemara Taka says, realistically, that year Rosh Chodesh Nisan was Sunday. Bayem Arishin was Sunday. Bayem HaShvi Taka, the outcome of the Gemara is Taka going to be the Taka brought in on Shabbos. And Shvi means Shabbos. But the Gemara's question is, how do you know seven means seventh day of the week, but means seventh day of bringing the Karbanos?
Seven
working days. Whatever, yeah, seven working days.
As it says, the Bayom HaShvini, Bayom HaChiri, and so
forth. Right. So the Gemara's going to use your pasuk to end. So Gemara answers like this. Amar Rav Nachman Bei Yitzchak. Amar Krad, the pasuk says like this. Bayem HaShtei Aser Yom. The Torah says, B'yayim ashtei aser yayim. On the 11th day. It says twice day. It says, B'yayim ashtei aser yayim. So therefore the Gemara learns out, Ma'yayim kulirotzev, just a good day is consecutive. Avashtei asir kula to the tufim. So the 11 days were all consecutive. Now the Gemara learns out, because there's an extra word, yom, just like a day is consecutive, there's day and night, and it, you know, keeps going. So when the Pasuk says the 11th day, it means 11 consecutive days. And if they brought it 11 consecutive days, then Shabbos was one of the days that they brought.
How do they learn that from the extra yom?
Huh?
Where did they get this principle from the extra yom?
1 second. The Gemara is going to add... The Gemara is going to ask, maybe means the 11th day of bringing. The 11th consecutive day of bringing. Right? That's basically what you're asking. So the Gemara asks, Dilma Yom Meru'yin. Maybe the Gemara means, the Pasuk means, the 11th consecutive day when you were able to bring a carbon. How do you know it means the 11th day, meaning that they brought on Shabbos? So Gemara asks, we have another Pasuk where there's another word Yom, extra. Ksiv Krachnina, there's another Pasuk. It says, B'yem Shneim Aser Yom. First the Pasuk says on the 11th day, twice the word Yom. Then on the 12th day, again the Torah says twice the word Yom. B'yem Shneim Aser Yom. So it's twice Yom. So Ma Yom Kularotz Rav Shneim Aser Kularotzuf. So the Gemara says like this. And the Gemara Taka asked, Dilma Hachan Ami Yomim Meruya. Maybe it also means 5 days of a carbon. How do you know it means 11 days straight in a row? So Gemara says, in Cain, Terei Kro Lomeli. Why do I need 2 psukim? 2 yams. So in other words, the Gemara learns that because there's 2 extra yams, the second extra yam teaches us that they brought the carbonis in consecutive days. What was the Gemara's question? The Gemara's question is, how do you know they brought a carbon on Shabbos? Maybe 7th means the 7th day of bringing the carbon. So the Gemara answers, from the extra word Yom, it teaches us that it was consecutive days of bringing a carbon. So if they brought the carbon for 12 days, obviously Shabbos was one of the days. So therefore the people made the Kal V'chaimer, if the Mishkan, which is temporary, and it was a carbon Yochid, yet the person brought a carbon and desecrated Shabbos. So the Mikdash, which is permanent, and it's Yom Kippur, not Shabbos, for sure they can push away Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, how do you know that? Why should they eat and drink? Why didn't they just bring carbonis? The Gemara answers, you want a party, you need food.
Was this not, we learned this somewhere else. Was it another Gemara, or are we... I remember reading
Shabbat, we also discussed
another Gemara.
We discussed it in Shabbos, but we didn't learn the Gemara. Here's the Gemara. We just discussed it. That they partied in Yom Kippur. Okay.
You can't have a party without food?
When was the last time you had a party without food?
Well, I understand, but I mean,
it's a boring
Yom Kippur.
It's a boring.
It is Yom Kippur after all.
Yeah, but
you celebrate.
Yom Kippur's
the Yom
Tov.
Yom Kippur's the Yom Tov. Where? How do you know that those exist the causes? So that's how you learn now from. How do you know Hashem told him to do it that way? And if Hashem told him to do it that way, that was the Kal V'chaimer. The Kal V'chaimer was, if Hashem told him to do it then, so now for sure it should apply. By the way, the fact that the Gemara answers that you're all fit for Olam Haba shows that year, eating on Yom Kippur accomplished what fasting does. In fact, the Gemara says, no, this is every year. The Gemara says, "Betisha lachedish ba'erev, me'erev ad'erev tishbu shishabatchem." The Gemara asks a contradiction. One pasuk says, on the 9th day of Tisha, you should fast from evening to evening. And another pasuk says, on the 10th day is Yom Kippur. So the Gemara asks the contradiction. So the Gemara says, that because Hashem loves the people so much, He says, I'm commanding you to eat on the 9th, but Hashem says you should fast, because it says, by eating on the 9th of Tishrei, Hashem considers it as if you fasted on the 10th. Now, if there's a mitzvah to eat and there's a mitzvah to fast, you get more reward for fasting than for eating, obviously, because it's a little bit harder. So Hashem says, by eating on the 9th of Tishrei, I'll give you reward as if you fasted 2 days in a row. So what had happened Yom Kippur, and I'm sure this was with the okay of Shlomo HaMelech, I mean, obviously the voice came out and said, Yimzum in Leilam Abba. So it is Taka, that year, the Jews were forgiven by parting. They didn't need Kapara because the Beis HaMikdash was the Kapara for the Bnei. Whatever you say.
Did they also get credit for the previous day?
Probably. Probably. that the Gemara doesn't say, but probably, yeah.
The only time you got forgiven for parting.
Parting is good. Okay, now the Gemara says, Umigdash. Now the Gemara said a statement before, the Jews didn't fast at Yom Kippur. They partied, right? The Gemara says, how do you know they partied? Maybe they fasted. The Gemara is now discussing, the Gemara said a statement before that they didn't fast at Yom Kippur. The Gemara says, how do you know? Migdash Tadechon Yom Kippur Minolan. How do you know that they didn't fast Yom Kippur? So it says, Ilem and Miksiv. If you're saying because the Pasuk says, Arba Asir Yom, 14 days. It says they partied 14 days straight. So the Gemara asked, Dilma Yomim Meru'uyin. Maybe it means the days that you're allowed to party. Maybe Yom Kippur was not one of the 14 days. So the Gemara says, no. Gamar Yom Yom Mihasim. We learn it out, the word Yom, from the Mishkan. By the Mishkan it says Yom, and they brought it on Shabbos. So when it says here Yom, it means consecutive days. Just like the Mishkan is consecutive, we learn out of Gzeir Shava Yom Yom, that it was actually consecutive days. Now, Yotze Baskel, a voice came out from heaven, Ba'amr Alam, and said, Kula Mizumanim L'chai Lam Abba. That you're all ready for Olam Abba. So the Gemara said, but Minolan Da'achalu, how do we know Hashem forgave them? Maybe they're going to Olam Abba, but how do you know Hashem forgave them? It doesn't say, the voice didn't say you're forgiven. The voice said you're all going to Olam Abba. How do you know Hashem forgave them? So the Gemara answers, the Tani Tachlifa, because the Tachlifa learned to Bryce, it says like this. But Yehim Hashmini, on the 8th day, after the second 7 days, the Pasuk says 7 days, 7 days, 14 days. Then it says on the 8th day, meaning the day after the 14 days, Shilach HaSa'am, Shlomo HaMelech sent away the people, Vayivarchu HaSa'amelech, and they blessed the king, Vayelchu La'aleim, and the people went home, Smechim V'Tevelev, they were joyful and with glad hearts. What does it mean? That what? I'll call a teva for all the good. Asher also Hashem le David avdei for all the good that Hashem did to David his servant, will Yisrael amrei and this nation. Okay. So what does the pasuk say? The pasuk says like this: they went back home to their tents, smechim v'tevelev, happy and glad-hearted. Right. So Gemara says, Sha'aleim. What does it mean to their tents? When they came home, all the wives were pure. In other words, because Aleh means the wives, like it says by Matan Tatum. Smechim, what does it mean? Smechim, they were happy. That they benefited from the Shechina. They saw the ray of the Shechina. And what does it mean? They were good hearted, like joyful in the heart. When they came home, all the wives became pregnant, and they all had boys. I'll call Ataiva, and all the good, Chiyasa Baskel, if a voice came out from heaven, and said, Kulam Mezumonim L'chai L'mabo, you're all ready for L'mabo. So that itself shows that Hashem forgave them. Because if Hashem was upset with them, what they did, so then all these good things wouldn't have happened. Now, the Mefarshim explain, what is Teva Levav? Teva Levav, it means, good-hearted, they all had boys. So it says, because by Meshe Rabbeinu, when he was born, it said, Vatera Eseki Tevu. She said that he was Tev. and he was a boy. So you see, Tev is a boy. So therefore, they also, Tev and Lev, I mean, they all had boys. So we know that Hashem actually forgave the people for the good that they did. Now the Gemara says, what were the Jews happy? For all the good that Hashem did to David Avdai, to David his servant, and Yisrael Ami. So the Gemara is asking this, what good did he do to David? The good that he did for the Jews, we know. Bishlamel Yisrael Ami, what was the good that he did for the Jews? Because Achle Aven Yom Kippur, that God forgave him for eating on Yom Kippur. What good do we see Hashem did for David? It says the Jews came home. David already passed away. David HaMelech died before the Beis Hamikdash was built. So it says, what happened? The Jews saw the good that he did to them. So that, the Gemara says, makes sense that he forgave them for eating on Yom Kippur. And he also, the good that he did to David. What good did he do to David that they saw now? So the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda. The Gemara says like this. B'shoshe, this is a very interesting Gemara that says now. B'shoshe b'ikur Shlomo la'achnis on the Mikdash. When Shlomo HaMelech, when the Beis HaMikdash was finished, and Shlomo HaMelech wanted to bring in the Aron Kodesh into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he wanted to bring it in. Dov kushorim zu b'zeh. The gates of the Holy of Holies closed and they refused to open. The gate, in other words, is a sign from heaven. You can't bring the Aron into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Amos Shlomo HaMelech tried ways of getting God to open it. Amos Shlomo Esen V'Arbar Renonis. He said 24 prayers. Okay? He brings it down. Renonis, Tchina, Tfila. They bring down the various 24 expressions of prayer that Shlomo HaMelech said, and nothing was happened. He wasn't answered. Hashem didn't open the gates. Pasach v'yamad, so what did he say? Su sharem rasheichem, raise up your gates. You know, from Tilim, su sharem rasheichem, we say on the first day of the week. Leinana, Hashem didn't open it. Still not. Kiv and sha'amad, when Shlomo HaMelech then said, Elokim, maltoshev p'nei mishichecha, don't turn away from the face of your anointed one, meaning David, Zachar lechazdei David avdecha, remember the chesed of David your servant. So as soon as he mentioned David HaMelech's name, miyad ne'ene, the gate was automatically opened. Automatic doors. So the Jews saw the favor that Hashem did to David. The Gemara asks, what favor did Hashem, did the Jews see, did to David? David HaMelech got the gates open. So the Gemara says, Ba'eis Hashem, at that time, Nepchu Pnei Seini David B'Keshule Agdeira. The face of David's enemies, as Mefarshim explained, means the family of Shaul HaMelech, who hated David HaMelech, that he became king, Shimi Ben Gedor, who cursed David HaMelech. So all these people, when they saw that the gates were open in the merit of David HaMelech, their face darkened like the bottom of a pot, you know, that gets burnt from the fire. So their face blackened, and the Vyadu and everybody knew that Hashem forgave him for the sin with David HaMelech and Bathsheba. Now, even though the Gemara says in Shabbos, whoever says David HaMelech sinned is making a mistake, the Gemara says, Kol ha'eme David HaMelech t'chota eina elotaya, and the Gemara explains why, because when Uriah Chiti was Mr. Bathsheba, and officially the sin of David HaMelech that the movie showed was that he committed adultery. But the Gemara says it's not true, because the Gemara says a famous expression that Chassidus has a field there with, Kol ha'yetzel l'mechemes beis David, kesev get krisis li'ishtei. The Gemara says, in David HaMelech's time, Kol ha'yetzel l'mechemes beis David, any soldier that went out to fight the battles of David HaMelech, the Gemara says, before they went to battle, wrote a get to his wife. Why? David HaMelech instituted a very, very brilliant thing. Because a lot of times guys went to war, missing in action, and the wife remains in Aguna. She can't remarry anybody. The husband, you don't know, did he die, didn't he die? You don't know. They took him off as slaves and captives, you don't know. So David HaMelech instituted that whoever went to war divorced his wife. He came back after the war, if you wanted, you remarried her. You didn't come back, at least she was a divorcee, she was allowed to remarry. So the Gemara says that Uriah Chiti, her husband, divorced Bathsheba when he went to war. So therefore she wasn't a married woman. So therefore David HaMelech never committed adultery.
Halachically
she wasn't married. She could have gotten married anybody else she wanted at that time.
So what was the sin for which David was forgiven?
So David HaMelech's sin was because on David HaMelech's level, what happened was, based on the Chazal, not in the movie, David HaMelech said to Hashem, test me. David HaMelech used to bug God, I want to test. Test me. So Hashem said, you don't want to test. As it's explained in Sfarim, that if Hashem gives you a test, you can overcome the test. But every day in Brachas, we say, Ativeinu lidei nisayon, the God don't meet any test. Because the test, you can sometimes not pass. So Hashem says to David HaMelech, you don't want to test. He says, yes, I do. So Hashem said, you know what? A deal. I'll give you a test and watch what happens. So Hashem gave him a test, and he saw Bathsheba on the roof, the whole story in order. And because of that, on his level, he failed the test. So the Gemara says, and the Medrash says, why did Hashem make David HaMelech flunk the test? He didn't commit a sin because she wasn't married. But why did he make him flunk the test? Litim pischim pelu tshuva, to show that you can do tshuva. Even a great guy like David HaMelech, all the greatness. So here when the Gemara calls it that Hashem forgave him for the Ovein, it doesn't mean the sin as much as the failure of passing the test. Because David HaMelech didn't sin, the Gemara says.
I thought his sin was that he sent the husband to the front lines to get killed.
That's again where the movie gets it wrong. By the way, I never saw the movie. I know. By the way, I saw the movie. But
I never did either.
But what happened was, it's important because if you have the story straight, you have to understand. David HaMelech, the Gemara says, in Tehillim there's a pasuk, Libi Chola Bekirbi. My heart is hollow within me. David HaMelech says in Tehillim. And Chazal explains, She'en lo Yetzahara. He had no Yetzahara, ki horgu betainis. If you're talking about a guy, talking about David HaMelech, that had no Yetzahara. You know what no Yetzahara means? No temptations, no desires, no evil is possible. You have no Yetzahara. What? One second. So the Gemara says, the din was like this. Uriah Chiti, and here you see how David HaMelech was a nice guy and he's portrayed as an evil person. Uriah Chiti, this guy, her husband, was murdered by Malchus. He rebelled against David. Because in the presence of David HaMelech, he said, Adeini Yoav, my master Yoav. Yoav was the chief of staff of David HaMelech. So the din is, in the presence of the king, nobody else exists but the king. And the Gemara says, Halacha, if you say Adeini Yoav in the presence of the king, you deserve to be killed on the spot. The king has a right to tell a guy cut off his head on the spot. Instead of doing that, David HaMelech, because he was such a tzaddik, said, I'm not going to kill him. Let God deal with it. If God wants him to die, I'll kill him. If not, not. I'm not going to kill him. Let Hashem punish him. So he sent him to the front in the battle. Okay? And over there, Uriah got killed. Because Hashem punished him for being murdered by Malchus. But David HaMelech didn't do it. David HaMelech should have killed him. So David HaMelech didn't kill him, but the guy was Chayiv Misa. So it wasn't a sin that David HaMelech sent him to the war. On the contrary, David HaMelech did a favor and said, if Hashem wants him to live, I'm asking him, I agree, let him live. So not David HaMelech sinned with her. But as far as the test aspect of it, so now that the people saw that the gates were opened in the merit of David HaMelech, So they saw that Hashem forgave David HaMelech entirely for the flunking of the test with Bathsheba. But it was never a sin to begin with.
When Natan the prophet came in, he gave him some kind of a parable. And David HaMelech, so to speak, gave his comment on the parable. The guy
I understand. But
the parable was somewhat in this. I don't remember.
Because on David HaMelech's level,
right,
he shouldn't have done it.
Should have done what?
With the Bathsheba. Mm-hmm.
Marry her?
No, whatever.
Okay.
Eventually married her.
Nice.
Okay, now there's a very famous Gemara. We mentioned it not long ago in Shul. And the Chukaisa, I think it was. Rabbi Yenisim ben Amsai, Asmai, Rabbi Yenisim ben Asmai, Rabbi Yudah ben Gedim, Rabbi Yudah ben Gedim. If you remember him, it's very interesting. Yehudah ben Gedim was the guy that snitched to the Romans at a B'Shim Ba'Yechoi in the Lag Ba'Imer Gemara that we learned in Gemara Shabbos. Remember, when the guy that went to snitch, that was Yehudah ben Gedim, which was this guy. And over there, the Mefarshim have a whole argument in the Gemara Shabbos, was Yehudah ben Gedim a great person or wasn't he a great person? And eventually, the B'Shim Ba'Yechoi, after the 13 years of the cave, came out and he saw him, he said, this guy's still alive, and he became a heap of stone. Gal Shel HaTzomis. So the whole machlekes over there in the Rishenim was, is Yehudah ben Gedim a tzaddik or not? Because over there in the Gemara it looks like he's a lowlife. But the Mefarshim say that this is this Rabbi Yehudah ben Gedim. The reason why he's called Rabbi Yehudah ben Gedim because his parents were Gedim. But he was a great tzaddik. And therefore those Rishonim learned in the Gemara Shabbos that he didn't snitch to the Romans. He happened to tell over the story. And the Romans got word of it. But not that he snitched to the Romans. Because either you see from this Gemara, you'll see from the Gemara how great of a person he was.
Who had killed him? Was it Shimba
Yochai? The Shimba Yochai looked at him. He said, you're alive? Guy dropped dead on the spot. Instant burial. We're learning the portion of the vows, you know, of Nedarim by Reb Shim ben Yochai's yeshiva. If the minei beurta, at night they said goodbye to him, in other words, that they were leaving. The tzafra. So what happened was they thought they were going to go home at night. They ended up not going at night. They slept over. The tzafra hadav come iftar minei. So it came in the morning, they wanted again to say goodbye to Reb Shim ben Yochai. Amalahu, so he says, V'lafti, Eftarisa mine b'urta. Didn't you say goodbye to me last night? What are you saying goodbye twice? Amalahu, they said, Limaritanu Rabbeinu. You taught us, Talmud Shanifta Mirabe, a Talmud who said goodbye to his Rebbe. V'lan ba'isa'ir, and he slept over. You have to say goodbye a second time. So they said to Reb Shim ben Yochai, we're just doing what you taught us. That if a Talmud says goodbye to his Rebbe and he sleeps overnight, you have to say goodbye again. Shenamar, because it says in the Pasuk, on the eighth day they sent away the nation, and they blessed the king. Now, the eighth day of Sukkot is the 22nd of Tishrei. Okay, Shmini Atzeres is the 22nd day of Tishrei, and then it says, except right after that, it says, "Ubiyem Esrim Ushleisha Lachedesh Hashvi." On the 23rd day of Tishrei, he sent them away again. So, what do you see from there? That even though they say goodbye on the 22nd, you have to say goodbye again. Alamikan, from here we see. A Talmud said goodbye to his Rebbe and slept in the town. You have to say goodbye a second time. So they answered Reb Shim ben Yochai's question, basically. Amalei lebrei, so Reb Shim ben Yochai said to his son, Rabbi Eliezer, B'nei adam halalu, anoshim shol tzuraim. These are men of stature, meaning they're Torah scholars. Zil gabeim delevarchuch. Go to them that they should bless you. So Reb Shim ben Yochai sent his son Rabbi Eliezer to get a bracha from Rabbi Yehuda ben Gedim. And this Yonasan, Rabbi Yonasan ben Asmai. Asmaya. So what happened? Azul Ashkechinu, so Rabbi Eliezer went, and he saw that they were discussing, they ignored him first. They ignored Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon. Azul Ashkechinu found them, these two rabbis. Rabbi Shimon Yochai sent his son to go get blessed from these rabbis. He comes to them, and they were talking and learning between themselves. They basically ignored him.
And who were the two rabbis?
Rabbi Yudah ben Gadim and Rabbi Yonasan ben Asmai. So they asked the question like this. One pasuk says, "Palis magal raglecha v'chol derechecha yikenu." One pasuk says, "Weigh the course of your feet, and all your ways will be established." Meaning, as the Mefarshim explained, if you have two mitzvahs to do, weigh which one is more important and do that one. Okay, that's what one pasuk says. Another pasuk says, "Erechayim pentefalis," the path of life, lest you weigh. Meaning you shouldn't weigh mitzvahs. What does the second pasuk say? The first mitzvah that comes to your hand, do it. Don't weigh mitzvahs. So they were sitting and asking a contradiction of two psukim. One pasuk says, if you have two mitzvahs, weigh which one's more important and do it. And the other pasuk says, first come, first serve. So they answered, Leikash is not a question. Kam b'mitzvah shev shel asei sayidei achedim. It depends if the mitzvah could be done through somebody else. Meaning, if both mitzvahs are going to get done, and you and somebody else, so then you do the more important mitzvah. You know, you come first. Do the more important mitzvah for yourself. Kan b'mitzvah sheyav shel asei sayidei achedim. Then, if the mitzvah cannot be done through somebody else, so then, do it right away. Do it. That what? This is not learning about, speaking about learning, but Patur min mitzvah. No, but the question is, which one do I do first? I have two mitzvahs. What should I do first? So one pasuk says, weigh it and do the more important one. The other part said, no, just do the first one. So the Gemara answers, if somebody else is going to do a mitzvah, meaning both mitzvahs are going to get done anyway, so you do the more important one. But if the mitzvah won't get done through somebody else, the first mitzvah you get is the one you do. Huh? Well, the same halach is by studying, by the way, but not that's not what this Gemara is talking about.
I can't say what's more important or not, because we learn that from the morning. We put on a talis for tefillin. The tefillin, we do it 7 to 6 days a week.
Well, what's holier, tefillin or talis?
Talis, you do 6 days a week.
Seven. Talis, you do seven.
Seven.
And tefillin, you do six.
So that's why we do
We learn you don't weigh mitzvahs, you don't say.
Well, that's the question that the Gemara is going to discuss.
That's how we weigh.
But you're doing both, so that's not a problem. The question is, if you can only do one, do you weigh the mitzvahs? So if nobody else is going to be doing the other mitzvah, do the first one that comes. But if somebody else is going to do the mitzvah, meaning both mitzvahs are going to get done, so you take the more important mitzvah for yourself.
Talit is more important than
tefillin, you say? No, tefillin is holier than talis. Like we said this morning, a talis is a blanket. Talis is not holy. When you finish with a talis, you can throw out the talis, not the tzitzis, but the garment you can throw into the garbage.
Why is it a sakana at night to wear it then? It's not a garment.
No, there's a mitzvah. When you wear a talis, you get a mitzvah.
Right.
But in Kabbalah, it says that to wear a big talis at night is a sakana.
Is there a reason behind that, or just a...
When you ask Kabbalah, you don't say Kabbalah. If there's reasons, it's not Kabbalah. but which one's holier? Tefillin is holier than talis. Yeah, but tefillin is a holier thing than talis.
But anyway, talis, you can sleep, use it as a blanket. You don't sound
anymore. Talis, you can do whatever you want with it. Take the guest to Mincha. A guy once had a dilemma. He said, I want to learn at night, but my wife wants me to be home. So don't learn with your wife. And then you have both things, right? So take the guest to Mincha, you have both things. Okay. Then the Gemara says like this. Hada Yosfe. Then they were sitting again, and this is, don't forget, Rabbi Eliezer, came, and he's coming to get blessed by them. And Lepoil, meanwhile, they're just talking between themselves, contradiction of Psukim. Hada Yosfe v'kaboy, then they were sitting down on top of the page of Tesamid Beis. It says, Yikara him ipnim in Teira is more precious than pearls. And all your needs, all your desires cannot compare to it. Which means, Teira is more important than your needs. But obviously not more important than God's needs. But if it comes to Chavta Shemayim meaning mitzvahs, Yeshua and mitzvahs are equal to Teira. And another pasuk says, no desires can come to Torah. So Gemara says a contradiction. One pasuk says your desires don't come to Torah, and another pasuk says any desires don't come to Torah. So is Torah greater than mitzvahs or not? Meaning the study of Torah. This is the Gemara about, by the way, not the first Gemara. This Gemara is discussing now what's more important: learning Torah or doing mitzvahs. So the Gemara answers. Again, gam be mitzvah shef shel asei seidei achedim. If somebody else is able to do the mitzvah, then you don't stop learning. Because then the pasuk says, even God's mitzvahs are not worthy for Torah. Because the mitzvah is going to get done anyway. So for you, learning is more important. Kan be mitzvah shef shel asei seidei achedim. But if nobody else could do the mitzvah, then the din is you have to do the mitzvah. So Chassidus asks a question, by the way, it's very interesting. Chassidus asks the question, so what is more important? It's a funny Gemara. If somebody else could do the mitzvah, then don't stop learning. That means learning is greater. But if nobody else is going to do the mitzvah, then do the mitzvah. That means mitzvahs are greater. So which one's greater? So the answer is very simple. Conceptually, level of Kedusha, learning is greater than mitzvahs. That's what the pasuk says. But the purpose of Torah, mitzvahs, of learning and everything is to make the world holy. So granted, learning is greater than mitzvahs, but the purpose of creation is mitzvahs, that the world should become holy.
That's
Chassidus. Yeah, so therefore the answer is like this. If somebody else is going to elevate the world anyway, the world is going to, because somebody else is going to do the mitzvah, you keep learning, because learning is greater than mitzvahs. But if nobody else is going to do the mitzvah, that means that level of world won't be elevated. So granted, learning is greater, but what Hashem wants is that world should be elevated. And therefore you have to do the mitzvah. Because world needs, huh? Well, it's incredible, because learning Torah, though, is greater. But that's not what Hashem ultimately wants. You know, like you read the Tzerech Aliyah bit, the Meraglim versus going into Eretz Yisrael, Bacher versus getting married, Kailul versus working for a living. You know, the question is, learning is greater, but that's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is Hashem wants to elevate the world, and that you can only do by business and mitzvahs and things like that.
So, Rabbi, I don't understand. Why is learning greater then?
Because the revelation of godliness is greater. But you don't elevate the world, because you're not taking the physical object and making it holy. But the revelation of godliness is greater while you're learning.
We have no care to put it.
Right. Okay. We'll continue a little bit. Where are you running? No. We're in the middle of the Gemara. Either you're drinking, I don't know what you're learning. Okay. So the Gemara says, Amrulay, so finally after they ask these two contradictions, they turn to Rabbi Lazar and they say, my boy Sachar, what are you doing here? Why did you come to us? Amrulahu, so he said, the Amrulay Abba, my father, Rabbi Shimon Yochai, said, Zil Gabayad Levarachucha, go that they should bless you. So basically they asked him, what are you doing here? He said, I came to be blessed. Amrulay, so he said the following bracha. Yeirava, may it be the will of Hashem. The Tizra, you should plant your fields. V'lei Techzad, you shouldn't reap. You shouldn't harvest the fields. Ta'ayil, you should take in. V'lei Ta'ayil, you should not give out. L'chorev Beisach, your house should be destroyed. V'lei Sevushpizach, and let your inn be inhabited. L'valvo Pseirach, let your table be disturbed. V'lei Techzad, Shatachad, you should not see a new year. This is the bracha they gave him. No, I mentioned it a few weeks ago. Huh? One minute. So kiyasil gabi avu. So he came home. Amalei. So he asked his father, "Nu, what happened?" Laimi by the vachuna. He says, "Not only didn't they bless me, avot tsuuri tsaren. They pained me." And the Mashal explains, very interesting. If you notice, he didn't say they cursed me. Rabbi Lazar understood, Rabbi Shimon Yochai's son understood, that tzaddikim don't curse. But he obviously didn't understand their bracha. So he said, what they did do, not only didn't they bless me, but they pained me because I can't figure it out. But he never said, the Mashal explains, he understood, Rabbi Lazar understood they didn't curse him. Amaleis, his father said, my Amaleich, what did they tell you? What bracha did they give you? So he said, "Hachi v'achad amali." So he repeated what he said. Amali, so Reb Shimon Yochai said to his son, "Hana kula b'chasaninu." They're all brachas. These guys gave you great brachas. What were the brachas? Tiz ravalei techtzad. What does it mean? You should plant and not cut. Meaning, teilid banim. You should give birth to kids. V'leyamus, they should not die. You should seed, plant kids, but they shouldn't be cut. Ta'ayo v'lei tepek, you should take in and not bring out, meaning, ta'ayo kalosa, you will take in daughters-in-law to your house, v'lei lemusa benach, and your sons won't die, that they're going to go back to their parents. In other words, you'll take in daughters-in-law, but they won't have to leave because your sons won't die. Tepek v'lei ayol, when you bring in and not take out means, bring out and not take in means, teilid benasa, you'll give birth to daughters, who will get married and leave your home and they'll never have to come back, widowed or divorced. And their husbands won't die, that they're going to come home. And then he says, what does it mean? He says, let your house be destroyed, let your inn be inhabited. He said, this world is compared to a temporary. And vahi alma beisa, and this world, I mean the next world, the next world is permanent. He said, let your house be destroyed, meaning, let your temporary home be forever, that you won't die. That you won't need to go to the Olam Haba, which is the permanent house.
What did they say?
He said, your house should be destroyed and you should live in your inn.
The house is what?
Meaning, Olam Haba. That means you shouldn't die, that you have to go to Olam Haba. And like it says, kibam batayim le'elam, their houses are forever, meaning kibram, their graves. And then he says, levavu pseirach, let your table be destroyed and disturbed. It means bibneu benasa, with your sons and kids, as everybody knows, they make a good mess of your house. V'leitachzi shatechadita, and what does it mean you shouldn't see a new year? Leitamos intach, that your wife shouldn't die, and that you should have to marry another wife. So he said, basically, that they gave him such brachas, but they didn't want to say it in an open way. So again, in Chassidus it explains, why did they do it this way? They could have told him clear, open, at the, it says, like, to teichecha on the Chumash. And this, Chassidus brings out the concept that the curses in the Chumash is hidden brachas that are so great They can't come down in an open form. They have to come down in a hidden form. That's how great they are.
Like we don't give them as a lid.
Huh? The Balkari gets it.
Balkari gets it.
No.
Because he gets it because nobody else wants it.
No. No. Okay.